Today's date is August 11th, 1997. The speaker is Keith Cooper. The topic is Faith and Reason, Allies or Enemies, Reason, Friend or Foe.
This is a large group. Even if it were a small group, it would not be a good idea to try to head toward unanimity, come up with the best paraphrase or translation we can have. So let's not worry about that at all. You can come tell me your favorite afterwards if we don't get to it. But let's try to get at least a representative sampling of different ways of getting at some or most of what that says. I have faith in God first, and then we'll turn to the one on the right-hand side of the board. First, I have faith in God. We will reward the people who sit in the front row. No, they just came in late. That was their problem. We'll start with the second row or some group.
I've experienced God.
And there's some sort of ongoing result of that.
Right.
I mean, they're not once, not for the last time. Okay.
I rely on God.
We talked about that one being kind of a trust, like sort of handing over something,
putting our trust in God,
or sharing the.
So I trust in. Mm-hmm. And what else did you say? There's some other verb you used.
Well, that's a good one. Putting my trust in God, or I trust God.
I'll put that.
I kind of have a very Lutheran, but I've been saved by faith. Or by grace.
I've been saved by grace.
We're still on the left-hand side of the board, right, Steve?
Well, you are.
Yeah, ours are
guess,
both sides.
And that, okay. And so you have faith. Okay.
I think it goes the other direction. God has proven his existence to me. Or, in other words, beneficence for existence or something like that.
Or shown or.
Well, yeah, you have existence
law proof.
We said no one.
Believe.
Well, now the editors come out.
Jim said it was easier to trust God than a philosopher.
Feel.
So yeah. You've got to be real careful.
Now, the front row who has patiently waited. Oh, you sort of.
I'm with him.
We want the second one.
We said I know God, and I feel God, and I don't. We put them on both sides.
Feel? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what was the first thing you said? You said,
I believe in God.
I mean, that.
That was a good one.
That was just an obvious one.
Well, obvious. The obvious is allowed. The obvious is allowed.
That was what we were saying. I believe in.
Believe it?
And rely and trust me at all three of them.
Okay. Close enough for now? Sort of focusing in? Okay. Then we will switch colors. I believe in God on faith. Why don't people just pop up at the point?
Feeling.
We said that. Yeah.
That's not a sentence.
I believe in God.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. My mistake.
God.
On feelings do. From, on, I have a sense of what you're going
through,
for.
Through.
I believe in God even though I have no scientific proof in his existence.
My opinion is that God exists.
Mm-hmm. and so you're making a lot out of opinion here.
Well, you are.
Well, I guess. Are these real different to you? I believe in God, and my opinion is God exists. It could be a trick question, and the sentences on the left and right hand side of the board could mean the same thing, but I didn't think so when I started. But, so that's why I wondered if there was something. If you said, I think God exists, is that the same? Or do you want some sort of twist with opinion? That's where I was trying to
know. It just meant that opinion is not based on any scientific proof.
See, that's, well, or let's any, come back to that in just a minute. I want to let other people.
The implication of that sentence is that, to me, is that my opinion is that God exists, and don't bother me with any facts.
My mind's made up.
Yeah,
confuse me with the facts.
Right, so I believe, it's more that I believe even though there's no scientific proof. To me that means I believe, and I've never even looked at this to question my belief. I believe it on faith.
Well, maybe you looked and you didn't find any scientific proof, but you continued to believe. Not that you would have minded if you found it, you know, but right. You didn't.
I believe in God through revelation.
Okay.
I believe in God because our science provides us, our science has always shown us that there's always a cause to every effect, and they have never given me any other cause for this effect. Now you're glad you're
so science doesn't give enough answer.
Yeah, now that, who said proof? Someone over here muttered. I mean, that sounds to me like a standard proof or argument for the existence of God. And I would have thought that should be contrasted with faith. But I'm not here to tell you how to hear things. I think it can be helpful sometimes to hear things in new ways and to see what kind of connections are possible. The goal is not at all to have everyone go out talking the same way. That would be boring, especially if it were my way you were talking. Other things here? Go ahead.
One of the things that I threw out, every time I turned on a light switch today, the lights come on. I have no evidence that light's going to come on next time I throw the switch. However, I believe it will.
So which side of the board are you on?
Well, I'm sure. I guess what I'm trying to say is faith is faith, and while your sentences are maybe different, I see a connection.
Okay. Okay.
That's faith.
Good. Part of what we'll talk about Thursday, I think, is the way in which science operates. Does science require or everyday life with material things like light switches and currents, does it require some sort of ongoing faith, or is it sort of pure knowledge, whatever that means, or how do you make sense out of that? Well, we'll try to make sense out of this first. Now I will tell you what you were really thinking. Let me make some points, and you can say, well, that's forced with this, but if you would, try to follow me through. Because the goal here is that I think that the question of how, if at all, faith and reason should be related is not the sort of one we first think it to be. It involves different sorts of questions than many of us have encountered. And so I'm trying something fresh here. Actually, it's old because I'm about to put some old medieval Latin down. But it's... perhaps a different way of looking at it. So stick with me for a couple minutes, and then you can say forget. I believe in God. Suppose I had asked you to translate that one. You might have said, I have faith in God, right? I mean, I think that's a that's the one that we use a lot.
Person might try to describe God.
That could be valuable to help someone understand more fully what it meant. Let me ask you this. You tell me, sorry, erase that from the tape. Let me ask you what to say about this. Here's an old joke. Question. Do you believe in infant baptism? Answer. Believe in it? Why, I've seen it done. Now, I don't care if you don't think that's funny, but you can at least figure out why someone thought it was funny or why someone thought it up. I mean, what's being played off there?
Believe, man.
What about belief?
Seeing and believing.
Belief has different meanings.
Okay. Other mutterings that I didn't get?
It's difference in believing. One way of saying I believe in God simply means that I believe that God exists. Now, whether he has any relationship to me or not, but I have trust in God. It's a much, much more personal relationship.
Well, you'll have different ways of putting it, but that's something that he says running out of colors. That's something that medieval thinkers used two different Latin terms. I guess you say fides and fiducia or fiducia, two different words for faith. Now, sometimes you get the picture, and I'm sure Andrew Dixon White will be glad to tell you about them dark ages back there, where the medieval time was the age of faith. Well, it was the age in which the university was invented in Christian Europe. It was an age in which there were ongoing, incredibly sophisticated dialogues about relationship between faith and reason. There wasn't some blanket dictum taken for granted. People went back and forth on it. But these two Latin words that were used to talk about different aspects of faith are described, says philosopher John Hick in his book Faith and Knowledge, as marking very close to the difference that we today would talk about between belief that and belief in. So do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in life on other planets? That's asking whether you believe that there are such things. Do you believe in infant baptism? Do you think it ever happens? That's belief that. Okay. But if you say, do you believe in equal pay for equal work? Do you believe in capital punishment? You're not asking whether you have a belief that it's real. You're asking whether you
agree with it.
Maybe some sort of trust, right? Maybe some sort of, yes, this is important to shaping my life. We're talking about trust and commitment and reliance, which is typically the result of being experienced or the sense of having been redeemed. We trust God because we think that God is trustworthy. So we have some sort of encounter or experience that leads us to that. But there's a difference here. You can find it in the New Testament in the letter of James. It goes something like this. You believe that God is one, or that there is one God? You do well. Sarcasm in the New Testament, imagine that. You do well. The demons also believe. Can you finish the sentence?
There's one.
They tremble.
And tremble. You believe there's a God? You have belief that there is a God? You're with the demons. They also believe that there is a God. And they're scared. You know, they're worried. Why? Because they have belief that, but not belief in. They don't have any sense of relationship or trust or commitment. So, two different things, probably both going on in here with this believe in. If you thought God was a mythical character that humans had made up, would you trust your life to God? Does that psychologically make sense? Well, we may come back to that tomorrow. But for now, let me suggest that it's pretty hard to my original contribution to scholarship. The way you can keep these two straight, fides almost has the word ideas in it. So it's talking about particular ideas or beliefs about what's real. I believe that God is triune in nature. I believe that God is wholly good. Whereas when you think of a fiduciary trust company, what's that? What's that's an old-fashioned name, right? For what?
It's a responsibility.
Well, for an organization, a bank, right, that you can trust to hold your money. Or if you have a fiduciary relationship, sir, I think that's what you were getting at. What's that mean?
Well, it means that you have belief that the person, you use it in a lot of business, that you have belief that what the person says and they do is going to happen.
How about with a realtor or a lawyer or something who has a fiduciary commitment? Sorry?
That's what I was obligated.
Yeah, there's an obligation. You are bound to have a commitment to your client or your customer or whatever.
Yeah, that's where I come from.
Yeah. And so fiduciary trust, whether you think of the bank or something like that. So if you want to keep it straight. But both those seem to be going on in here. Talking about either particular beliefs, check them off on a list. Yes or no. Do you think there is a God? Do you think God cares about you? Yes or no. Do you think God is loving? Do you think God ever punishes anyone? Those form some of the content of faith, one might say. And that's part of what faith involves. There's a content to it. Different sorts of faith differ in part because of their different content. But there's also some sort of trust, reliance, commitment that's going on. Well, let me suggest that what's going on mostly here is some sort of contrast. We've got it right here, but even here, when you said through feelings, is that you? You meant in contrast to something else, right? Through feelings instead of what?
Thinking.
Okay, thinking or proof or science or history or something like that. Something more personal or intimate. Yeah, so some contrast. And that's why I thought, was it you with opinion? I thought that maybe you were putting a stress on that, and I don't know whether you know if you were, but you see, well, my opinion is that God exists, but it's not as though I used my microscope, telescope, little chemistry kit or whatever and proved it. That was my guess. Maybe I was wrong. Again, through revelation as opposed to something else. In fact, one way to get at this, and there's a whole range. This one's harder than the one on the left, right? And one reason is there's a whole range going on here. You could say, I believe without full scientific proof. I believe in God without having actually seen or touched God. I believe in God without any scientific evidence. I believe in God without any evidence whatsoever. I mean, it's just a whole continuum there. Well, now the big finish. Maybe not quite to the session, but the big finish to the board. If I'm anywhere near close, that the left-hand side, I have faith in God, is talking about certain trust or commitment or relationship, which has to involve thinking that there is one around to be trusted. You know, so it's got both these going on. I'm not sure that says anything about why you have faith. Some people were putting that in, right? And that's why I wanted to keep going. I've experienced God, and as a result, I have faith. Well, that's not a good translation, right? You have to take the word faith out. I have experienced God, and so I have committed myself or trust or the like. I'm not sure that talks about why, on what basis. Whereas this one, you've got, you know, I believe in God, which is getting close to what's here already, and so what's really new is on faith. And so here, the faith, or at least the on faith part, seems to be indicating the ground, the source, the some sort of because to your believing. Just take it on faith. Take what on faith? Well, it doesn't matter. See, whatever you're talking about, take it on faith is talking about the mode or the source or the way. And there seems to be some sort of contrast in view here. Faith rather than some sort of standard or usually these days scientific sort of evidence. But the on faith isn't really talking about trusting God. There's where you're talking about trusting God. I believe in God. I trust God. So on faith is doing something different from here. And that's my point. It seems to me that faith is being used in two different ways in the sentences, I have faith in God and I believe in God on faith, through faith. Two different ways. Of course they're related, but they're different. And if they're different, then perhaps they should not be automatically connected. Perhaps we should not just presume automatically that the two go together. Perhaps we should not presume that the proper way to have faith in God is to believe on faith. Might be, but it's not automatic. In fact, it would almost be like a pun to just connect the two together, smush them together, and treat them as one. Oh, that's clever use of language. Faith being used in two different ways, and you're twisting it together and putting it together, having faith on faith. I get it, that's clever. But perhaps not automatic. So, and here I think, Steve, you were talking about the Lutheran view, and it seems to me that, though I was not born or raised a Lutheran, talking about reliance and trust and the like, that's pretty central, is that, as you understand it, to the Lutheran view of faith? It's certainly much more than what the Roman Catholics, especially in the medieval times, got charged with, perhaps unfairly, that faith was just a matter of content. Just a matter of checking off the boxes on the list. I believe X, Y, and Z. I have faith. And the Lutheran conception is different from that, at least caricature, if not reality. So if there's not anything automatic about connecting the two, about saying that the way for you to have proper faith, the best faith, saving faith, or the like, is to believe on faith. Well, then, that raises the question. Why might one try to connect them and say, yes, that's most appropriate. The most appropriate way to trust in God is just close your eyes and leap. Or, why might one say, no, they're not connected. No need to connect them. And we'll talk some about this tomorrow. And we'll get an idea Wednesday of how people have, through the ages, dealt with it. Real quick and dirty through the ages. And Thursday, look in particular at science. But I would welcome, we've got 10 minutes or so left, I'd welcome feedback on this, but perhaps I've beaten that one enough. So the question that I would prefer that you address yourself to, unless you really want to ask me something, I like asking questions better than answering them, is why might one think, if there is a difference here, why might one think that maybe the proper or preferable way to trust God is to believe on faith? I mean, what Lots of different factors, I think.
Why do they have to believe on faith?
I don't know, but I think that's what we get both from the good guys and the bad guys. Seems to be that's a good thing.
But if we've had experience on that, that's what you say, that's what gives us.
Oh, does that count? Does that count?
Does for each one
okay.
as individual.
Well, good. There's one thing, and I don't know that we need to start a list. Maybe it would even be better to do that, which I learned at the teaching staff meeting the first day I got here. But why might one think that that having faith in God and believing on faith might be connected? And one reason might be that when you get right down to it, it's some sort of personal internal experience that is the ground, if I may use that word, for faith. And that's just a whole different ball game from talking about evidence. Internal feelings and evidence, different. So if personal experience doesn't count in the evidence game, but it's obviously very important, maybe not central, maybe not the only thing, but very important to people who talk about, why do you still go to church? Why do you still have that faith? Then that would be a hint that maybe the connection should be made. But good, there's one thing. Another?
I think there's some suggestion in Scripture, the story of the doubting Thomas and the line that blessed is he who though he has not seen yet believes.
Okay, good. So scriptural hints or outright teachings. And you're fortunate that this week has Renaissance Festival on West Preed Day, because otherwise I'd have to do five sessions, and that would have been the fifth, talking about some of those. And you may have your favorite, or if you thought about it, you would. Ephesians 2, avoid vain philosophy. I like pointing out that maybe that means that it's okay not to avoid the unvain stuff, you know. But, 1 Corinthians 1, Hebrews 11, I mean, they're very... So scriptural hints that there's something else, I don't know if I want to say more going on, but something else going on in an attitude of faith other than, you know, detective work or neutral scientific investigation, something like that. Okay. Other things that come to mind? If any of the stuff I was doing the first part of the class about the dichotomy between faith and reason, if that rang a bell with you, if you think you heard that somewhere, what were you told about how come? Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking about the use of the word opinion that we talked about quite a bit. When he said that means to me that I believe that God exists, but you have the right to believe anything you want. That's my sense about it.
Here's a slide you sometimes get. Everyone has a right to their opinion, to be ungrammatical. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a right to his or her opinion. Mm-hmm. Slide to everyone's opinion is equally right. Mm-hmm. You hear that?
Yeah.
And it's a slide. I mean, maybe it's one that's rational to make, or you know, could be defended, but it's there. I had down. In case you weren't here today, no, I had down. Fact/opinion. Which, what's that mean? Well, we tend to think that there is a difference between fact and opinion. And I was talking with someone just last week, and I wish I could remember where and why, but about that, and wanted to say that a fact was something that was scientifically proven. And if you were thinking of something that wasn't scientifically proven, then it was opinion. And I was trying to say, well, what if it turns out you guessed right and it was a true opinion? Then isn't it a fact? You know, but no, there's a difference. And it seems to me that one picks that up in American public schools quite a bit. We do values clarification. We 20 years ago, help students understand what their values were, because that's something of a fact. What's your value? Well, you know, what are your values? Well, you can sort of list them. But of course, you wouldn't talk about whether or not those values were rational or correct or true, because ethics, religion, that's opinion contrasted with fact. So if there's a fence, and you got to be on one side of the fence or the other, we know which side of the fence we're on. If there's that fence. Now, the obvious rejoinder is to say it's a fact that torturing young children is morally wrong. It's not just an opinion, it's a fact. And do I really need to try to prove that to you? We'll cross you off the Narnia list this week. So one can go back and forth on this, but I was just trying to identify some themes or nuggets that you have that suggest, well, you know, there really is a danger in just saying, okay, let's be rational about this. You know, what does the evidence show?
What would you say if someone said that the reason you have to believe on faith without scientific proof is maybe if you thought about it too much, you would realize that there actually is nothing to believe in out there?
So it's a defensive, protective maneuver. Yeah, yeah. If you, there were in Plato's Republic, where Plato sets up this utopian government society, there are myths, because myths have their role. And of course, the leaders know that these are just myths and that they are useful fictions for keeping people in line, but you want to make sure that you don't catch on to that, that not too many people catch on to that. You want them to believe in the gods and to do what the gods want them to do. Don't look, what's the line from The Wizard of Oz? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, right? Because that could ruin things. So, that could be a defensive posture. Now, you might start wondering how much trust or faith there really is in someone who says, well, we're probably wrong, so let's be cautious and not look very much. Yeah. Please.
Kind of on a way to connect the two ideas.
Yes.
Going back to your light switch analogy, the I have faith in God is kind of the where you leave. Once I flip the switch, the light will come on because that's what I've seen. But the I believe in God on faith is also knowing that you have faith, the light will come on, but there is the possibility that it will not come on, yet still having the courage to take the action and flip the switch, knowing you could be chosen.
So acting in the midst of uncertainty, and that is needed, I mean, for mundane reasons, if you're talking about turning on a light switch, but, you know, for there are important reasons. Okay, to act in the midst of uncertainty. And in particular, one might say, look, at least in the nature of Christian faith, I'm not very prepared to talk about Buddhist conceptions of faith and Hindu conceptions of faith, but the Judeo-Christian conceptions of faith will keep us occupied quite a while, so I hope that's okay. But look what you're talking about. Commitment to a person. You know, do I hire a detective to follow my wife around? Is that the way of showing I have trust in her? Well, no, if you have trust in somebody, you know, you don't do that. That's just the wrong attitude. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So, for a variety of reasons that we've begun to identify, some people think that even if there's not this automatic connection, perhaps there's, pardon the phrase, good reason to think that faith should be somehow protected from or limited as to how much it moves on into careful scientific empirical investigations. Well, tomorrow I'm going to read you a short story. That's okay. It's not. It's written by a philosopher, so you know how good can it be? But a short story called "The Bible Buyer." And as far as I can tell, is intended to get us just point blank into the question of what it would be like to try to live wholeheartedly on faith, that is all the way to the extreme of not having one's faith commitments open to any sort of rational investigation or checking of all, at all. What would that be like? And would it be a good thing or not? That's where we'll head tomorrow. And I hope if you're able to come, I know there are other choices, but I hope that you'll be just as active as you were today. Thank you. Stop the page.